the opportunity to bring the word to you. Last few weeks, last week we were pretty much sick, and so I'm glad that we're all well, and I had time to study for this week. So for today's message, can we turn to Matthew 5? Matthew 5, verse 13. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. So, shall we pray? Our dear, wondrous, mighty God, once again, just we thank you for this time. We thank you for the words you've given me, and we pray that you may touch everyone here and examine their lives and how thy word is so powerful, and you're so powerful in our lives. And it's a daily and a hourly reminder of who you are and what you've done in our lives. When I was preparing for this message, I wanted to change it up a little bit. I was going through the book of Ecclesiastes, and I was looking at the wisdom and what God has shown in wisdom, and I learned a lot, and I've shared some of that with you in the life of Solomon and the life of David. But I was thinking the last time I spoke, even though I learned a lot, I was re-examining my life, and I realized that I wanted to look at scriptures that and be more applicable to me on a day-to-day basis. And when I was meditating, I remembered a message I heard in 1997. It was from Matthew 5:14. It said, "Are you the light of the world? A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden." And we talked about our walk as light. And I was reading through that portion, and this verse caught my mind. It said, "Are you the salt of the earth? And if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned?" And Michelle and I, we are, and my kids too, when you come to our house and we're watching TV, we don't watch ESPN or we don't watch sitcoms. We all watch Food Network. It's something that all of us like watching it. We like the show Chopped. And I've been also cooking a lot at home, and I enjoy cooking. So when I read this verse, I was thinking about in my mind, how does salt taste? And what does it mean by, are you the salt of the earth? And how would salt feel in your mouth if it lost flavor? And could we use salt if it didn't have any flavor in our meats, in our meals? And the more I read about this, we also saw in Mark, and this as verses mentioned in Mark and Luke as well. And so I was meditating on this, and I said, why would God use salt and not like honey or like wine or like olives or something? Why does he use salt? So I started researching it and meditating on it, and I looked up online, and then I saw back in the day in the Roman times, salt was considered a precious commodity. And it was so precious, like it folks in Timbuktu, which is in Mali, and as some of you heard, there was a lot of terrorist activity there. But back there, they would trade slaves for salt. Salt that we find in our day-to-day, any restaurant you go to or on a dining table, we find salt. But they thought it was so precious, they would trade slaves for it. So in our 21st century, what can we compare that value of salt in something that the world cherishes so much? And I could think of was oil and natural gas. And oil is so precious, people go to war on it. They talk about the whole concept of now natural gas. I was listening to the radio, and they talked about Texas having another 20 years of supply of natural gas through the process of fracking, which is through the shale. And shale is a rock, and how you you have to crack it, and so then the gas comes up and you end up getting, there's a lot of controversy on it, but people are willing to do that because it is precious. It is precious because our factories run on it, our heating, our barbecue, all these things we rely heavily on, is so in our day-to-day lives, it's used, and it's so precious from that point of view. So back then, salt was very precious. Salt was not only it was used to flavor food. I heard when they didn't have any salt, they would just, you know, cook the meat and eat it. Have you guys ever had, go to a restaurant and they give you, let's say, I want a steak or I want roast chicken. They bring you the roast chicken or the steak and they say, here it is, we didn't add any salt, and this is the way it's gonna be. And once you eat it, you're like, it needs something, and that something is salt. So it's that extra flavor it brings up, and the more I read about it, the salt was like the spice roads which were connected China to Europe. They also had salt roads which connected Germany to the Middle East, where salt was being carried out during the Roman times. And so from the historic point of view, when Matthew writes about, and what Christ talks about, you are the salt of the earth, and if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? So it was saying, if you lost your value, then how can you be effective? As brother talked about the sons of Eli. It said the sons of Eli were corrupt, but they did not know their Lord. But here it says, and he's talking to his disciples in Matthew 4:18, he talks about, he calls out his disciples to follow him. And he's teaching them that you are the salt of the earth. So it shows that they are the, Christ calls them, they are the salt of the earth. They are the essence, the flavor, or the way, the things, and they're key to the Christian ministry, what God is trying to do with them. So there was a note in Wikipedia that Roman soldiers back then were not paid in dollars or copper, but they were paid in salt. So there was a saying, if a Roman soldier did his job well, then he was called that he was worth his salt. So I think in many ways, Christ was talking to his disciples in that manner. Are you the salt of the earth? Are you the soldiers for my work? So what we saw in the scriptures, it talks about if the salt loses flavor. Right, so we know that from what God, what Christ is saying, salt has flavor. So I said to any one of you, can you tell me how salt tastes like? Can you describe to me how salt tastes like? I want you to think about that and come up with a definition for me. And if you never tasted salt, you can never fully express what saltiness is. And so I thought it was very interesting. It makes the food taste good. It highlights flavors and complements others. And you go to restaurants and dining tables, you see salt and pepper shakers. And they don't have big things of salt because it's so pure, it's so powerful. Speaking about pure and powerful, and it is in the sense, you only need a little bit to flavor your food, and it's that potent. So I want you to think about that as well. When the Roman soldiers were saying, are you worth your salt? They were saying, are you powerful and strong enough to deal with adversity to meet your challenges? Speaking about pure, I remember a story. This is, Michelle and I were married a couple days, and this is not about salt, it's about chili powder. Craig's not here, he was part of that story. Some of you may have heard it. So my parents were in my apartment, and they bought all these Indian spices from the Indian store, and we bought chili powder, we bought all these flavors. So they made some Indian food, and then they were gone. Michelle moved in, and we decided to have the brothers from the meeting over for chili. So I was at work, and I get a phone call that day, and Michelle's like, I made chili, but it's super hot. I said, what did you use? I saw the chili powder that your parents bought, and we put it in the chili, and it's blazing hot. I said, oh, you shouldn't have used that. That's really pure Indian chili powder. It's not the one you get in a regular grocery store. So I came home, I looked at the chili, it was hot. So we added some brown sugar, tempered it a little bit, and it got down a little bit. So all the guys came over, we had chili, and if when you have a lot of guys over, there's a lot of the testosterone kicks in, and everyone was like, oh, this chili is good, this is just right, and they were like sweating, but they didn't want any water. Some people were asking for rice, but so what it shows is even though Michelle used chili powder, the purity of the chili powder made a difference in what it is. And when I cook a lot, I use a lot of sea salt because to me it's more saltier, it's more powerful, and it's salty. So when you think about salt, what is it that first things you went? Salt is not sweet. It's totally different. It's not bitter. Bitter is totally different, or it's not sour. So there are five basic tastes, and salty is one of them. So I wanted to talk about why is salt so special compared to the other things we talked about, bitterness, right? And bitterness is something that if I told a kid is something bitter, they would know exactly what is bitter. And in India, when I was a kid, back then in the early 80s, they would give you medication and they would take a regular aspirin tablet or any tablet, they would ground it up and put it in water and give it to you. And it's one of the most bitter things I remember. It's bitter because it's, nowadays the kids are lucky because you got cherry flavor, grape flavor. Back then it was take it or else you're gonna get a beating. So I took that and I still remember it, the bitter tablets that we would take. The bitterness, it's something you don't really want it, but you take it because it's good. It's good for you, but your body says, no, this is not really what I want. So if you go to Numbers 9:11, this is talking about the Passover. On the 14th day of the second month at twilight, they may keep it. They shall eat with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. And it talks about bitter herbs. And the reason they use bitter herbs is a reminder of the hardship that the Jewish people suffered during the when the time they were in Egypt and when Moses brought them out. It is a time where they would eat it even though it wasn't pleasant, but the reason it wasn't pleasant is because they wanted to understand or perceive what it is to be enslaved, and that bitterness would be a constant reminder of what it is. Now, if you turn to Matthew 27:34, they, as in the Roman soldiers, gave him, Christ, sour wine mingled with gall to drink. But when he had tasted it, he would not drink it. So what is gall? Gall is something that's in your gallbladder, which is in the liver. It's extremely bitter. So if you have ever thrown up, if any of the kids have ever thrown up, when the stuff that you throw up is yellow and green and it's bitter, that's gall. So imagine our Savior was given gall with sour wine when he's hanging on the cross for hours, and the only thing he was given is that bitter drink, and immediately that he would taste it and he would want to throw it out. So then the question comes up, why is there this bitterness taste? I mean, why do we taste bitterness? And the reason we taste bitterness is because the body is trying to reject harmful substances. So if it's something bitter, the body's saying, you know what, you shouldn't be taking this because it's going to hurt you. It's going to hurt your body in some way or some fashion, so I'm going to spit it out. It's a natural behavior that spits out. I don't know if anyone has had almonds from the farm and you open up the shell. I've had a couple times a bitter one, and it's really bitter. So I don't like to eat bitter almonds because, according to research, the reason it's bitter, it's got a minute amounts of cyanide in it. So if you eat a lot of bitter almonds, potentially you could die. So that's one of the reasons why we don't want to eat bitter things. There are certain bitter things, like a bitter gourd, which is an Indian vegetable. You fry it and you eat it, and it stinks. But if it's really bitter, people and things, animals don't want to eat it because it's a way of saying, you know what, I want to stay away from it. If you turn to Exodus 15, Exodus 15 from verse 22. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and then they went out from the wilderness of Shur, and they came 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. Now when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of the place was called Marah, and the people complained to Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" So he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, and when he cast into the water was made sweet. So can you imagine something that is so bitter, and they go to the Lord, and the Lord turns it to sweet? Sweet is another flavor. Sweet is another taste. Sweet is pleasant to our tongues. We can eat tons of sweet things. It's unlike bitterness. We can keep eating sweet things until we are sick. It says in Ezekiel, when God asked him to eat the scroll, it tasted sweet like honey. So I want you to picture in your mind something now as something totally disgusting and bitter to something so sweet. And anyone who's tasted here can understand sweet is something pleasant. Sweet is something wonderful to eat. It's something that we can keep eating it. Unlike bitterness, which no one wants to taste, sweet, we keep eating it. So if we turn to Numbers 11, verse 7, now manna was the coriander seed and its color like the color of Bedium. The people went out and gathered it, ground it in millstones, or beat it into mortar, cooked it on the pans, and made cakes of it. And the taste was like the taste of pastry prepared with oil. So this is the thing that came from the heavens. They would cook it, and they would prepare it, and it tasted like pastries prepared with oil. So in my mind, when I said, it's sweet. You can picture in your mind pastries, honey, how good they taste. Like the cakes we had during coffee. It's wonderful. It doesn't talk about they cooked it and it was bitter or it was like sour. It wasn't salty. It was tasty. It was appealing. It speaks to your mind that this is good stuff. Now, if you turn to Exodus 16:20, it says, notwithstanding, they did not heed to Moses. This is where God said to the Israelites, don't store manna more than you can eat. So some of them left part of it until morning, and it bred worms and stank. And Moses was angry with them. This is the same thing when they prepared it. It was like, it was pastries with oil. It was like really good, but if they left it over, it got bad and it stunk. It wasn't something pleasant. It wasn't something nice. And God uses these type of things to speak to us and speak to our minds. That's why the scriptures are so beautifully written and they're the word of God, is because these thoughts are something we can relate to. It wasn't something like, this tasted like an Egyptian dish. It said sweet, sour, bitter, and then it talks about stank, it had worms in it. So one of the things that we need to learn is that when God says eat it, you need to eat it. So, but if it doesn't, then it can go bad. So one of the things we talk about is if you leave wine open into the air, it becomes vinegar. Vinegar is acid. It's exposed. It becomes an acidic product when exposed to air. And vinegar is sour. It's not the best thing. It's not sweet, where you love it. It's not bitter, where you want to spit it out. But it's sour. It's something. It's like citric acid. And in John 2, when Christ does the miracle in Cana in the marriage, guests compliment that usually the best wine is served first, not last. And the reason being, I think, this is my opinion, is because when you expose wine, it turns to, it becomes sour, it becomes vinegary. And so when the guests say, you know, usually we get the best wine first and not in the end, is because I believe that all the wine is the same, but that wine, when it's exposed over time, goes bad. So we talked about bitterness, we talked about sweet, we talked about sour, and we talked about what other things mean. Sour taste means that if God speaks to us, it's when it's decaying or stagnant, or when you leave something there, like wine, it becomes sour. It becomes something that it's not really pleasant to your mouth, but it's not bitter where you want to just spit it out and say, I don't want to do anything with it. And it's not sweet where you want to drink it. But it's a reminder that it's not really pleasant, but we can work with it. So why is salt prized? Because it's prized because it preserves the meats. It preserves things that you take a meat and you put salt on it and you salt the meat and you then it stays longer. You don't need refrigeration. And this was very precious in the days before they had refrigeration. Salt was the one that kept your food edible. It added flavor to it. So now if you think about it, if in Africa when people were trading slaves for salt, it showed you the value of salt, because Africa, Timbuktu, is an extremely hot place. And the temperature is not something that, you know, things snow or things. It's extremely hot. So the value of salt goes up because now you can take your good meat, good things, and you can salt them and you can keep them there for a long time, like salted meat, salted fish. And it also preserves the taste. If you ever had beef jerky, you know exactly what I'm talking about. It's that saltiness, even though it's salty, but when you eat it with the meat, it tastes good. It gives you the heartiness of the thing. So what does it mean that believers are the salt of the earth? And I think what it means is salt has its own flavor to it. It's not sweet, and it's not bitter, or it's not sour, but it's sweet. It's salty. So when I think, why didn't God say we need to be sweet like honey? Because our message, the good news that our Savior died is one that is not sweet. The world cannot accept that it's something that is sweet. It won't take it in because there is a limited time frame. We're telling the world that your life, everyone here who doesn't accept Christ, is doomed to hell. So it's not a sweet thing, but we are doing this because we need to show them that, you know, life is not good the way it is. You need to recognize that you need Savior in the world. And God doesn't say you're some bitter as some poison or bitter as some water, some marrow, because when we live, because we're not bitter. Our lifestyle is not supposed to be something with the world shuns us. The world doesn't, because as I told you earlier, when you have bitterness in your mouth, you want to spit it out. You don't want to do anything with it. And so when our lives as believers, we shouldn't be bitter, because when you become bitter, the world not only doesn't want to talk to you, it completely wants to reject you. And that's a bad thing, because then how can we reach out to people with the gospel? So we need to be firm and we need to be loving, but we cannot say, you are doomed to hell and you don't want to do anything. So there's a way of how you engage people. You have to do outreach with love, humility, and reverence. You just can't go and start beating them with the Bible, because We don't want to be bitterness in their mouth. We don't want the world to say completely reject us, where people don't want to do anything. Collectively, yes, I agree that the world will reject us as a Christians. But as individuals, we know that people have needs. We know that people want to be loved. We know that people want to be cared about. And so we need to bring that gospel with humility. We cannot be bitter, and we cannot be a bitter taste in their mouth, but we need to be a salty taste in their mouth. We cannot be sour like sour wine, where our lives are nothing but stagnant. We just sit there and just become sour. God revives us with wine, but we cannot just sit there and say, I don't want to do anything today. I don't have time for this. But you know what happens? What happens is our wine, we as fresh wine, become salty and we become sour. And when you become sour, you tend to break down. And, you know, it's sour wine is vinegar is an acid. Acid is a breakdown of it breaks down everything you want. And it's not really pleasant to the mouth. It's another flavor. It's another taste. But I don't think God wants us to be sour in our walks. We need to be salt. We need to bring the flavor of Christ to the world around us. We need them to understand the reason we are salty is not because we want to be one with the world. We're not. We're different from the world. We are not completely against the world in the sense that we don't want to be bitter, but we need to be also active. We can't be sour. And the reason we want to do that is because in the end, as salt, we want to preserve people's souls. We want to preserve what people can do. We want to preserve that their souls go to heaven and to be with Christ. We want to let them know that Christ brings a flavor. Our lives need to be examples of Christian flavor, where we heighten bring that extra oomph, that extra compliment to their lives, where they see Christian love, they become Christians, and they in turn become the salt, and they can use that as a way to preserve other people's souls. So it says in the Bible, it says in the scriptures we talked about in Psalms 5:13, how is it then good for nothing to be thrown out and trampled underfoot? But if the salt loses flavor, the question is, Michelle and I, we talked about it yesterday, and she said, salt cannot lose flavor. Then why does it say in the scriptures that salt loses flavor? Is the scriptures wrong? Is the scriptures not saying the right thing? The scriptures is right in the sense salt in itself cannot lose flavor, but salt can be compromised. And when salt is compromised, it loses flavor. So if you were to take salt and you put water in it, it becomes less salty. So and the reason when you make dishes, I've made dishes, I'm guilty of it, where you put a lot of salt in it and it's just super salty and you're like, what am I doing to do? So you put water in it, you put another impurity in it, so the salt is not that salty. So in many ways, our walks need to be, we cannot lose flavor. We cannot have impurities in our walk because what happens is our saltiness, which God asks us to be, is compromised. Because in the end, unlike sugars, I'm going to bring out some of my chemistry background, unlike sugars, which are large molecules that are bounded by their organic molecules, which have carbon-based, they're big molecules. Sugars in general, salt is a very small molecule. It's extremely tight bond, you know, it's very, two elements come together and they are stuck very, you know, it's not like you can break them. Like sodium chloride, sodium is a metal and we got chloride. Sodium by itself is very unstable, but when you put it together, it becomes very, very strong and it brings out the saltiness. But when you add water in a collective to the salt, it loses the less saltiness. So. And the reason is, and the reason I bring that up is, we have to realize that the reason, and this is the amazing thing about scriptures, is salt in itself, we need to be, like salt, we need to be grounded in the word. We need to have that strong bond with our Savior. We need to understand what he's thinking, because only if you're not bound that strong, Our walk cannot be as flavorful. Our walk cannot be there to preserve other people's souls. We can't speak about salvation, about our Savior. We need it to be strong in the Word. And what else does it talk about? You know, our not only do our personal lives need to be strong with us, with the Lord, our lives need to be bonded with other Christians as well. We need to be have fellowship. Initially, I talked about sugars being bigger molecules. So in many ways, our lives need to be bonded with other believers as well. And then you would enjoy the sweetness of our fellowship, you know, what we're going through together, why we meet on Sundays, why we meet on Wednesdays, why we meet during other times, is because we can really enjoy the spirit of and the sweetness of Christ. Let's turn to Galatians 3:28. It says, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And it doesn't say you are associated with Christ Jesus. You are one in Christ Jesus, which is another saying we are tightly bonded in Christ. And it doesn't matter who you are, where you are, our in God's eyes, we are the salt of the earth. And if we don't have fellowship with each other and if our Christian walks aren't as good they need to be, as Brother George talked about, as you know, the lady, the way believers, you know, represent themselves, our walks become stagnant like sour wine, like vinegar. We become the thing that when God took on the cross, he took sour wine with gall, the bitterness, and he couldn't drink it. We don't want to be our lives to be like that. Our lives should be very rich and powerful. It says in Revelation 3:16, you know, stagnant water, you know, when you have lukewarm water, in many ways, it's neither hot nor cold. It's just there. It says in Revelation 3:16, so then, because you're lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Our walks, we won't be effective for the Lord. It doesn't mean like some many, it can be saying if you are the salt of the earth and if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled by men. It doesn't mean that you're going to lose your salvation because salt inherently doesn't lose flavor. So you cannot say that you're going to lose your salvation. But what it means is, you won't see the fruit and you won't be as successful and instrumental in doing God's work if your walk with Christ isn't that good. And once we lose our saltiness, our lives get compromised. And many times I've seen is people end up becoming bitter because they don't have their relationship on a day-to-day with Christ. And they eventually, many times, may end up poisoning the church with different doctrines or with bitterness and things like that. So we need to be careful on how we want to, and this is a reminder to me, and is that our walks need to be strong. And then once we have a good relationship with Christ, you know, then all the other things will come into play. And I want to close by saying one thing. When Christ sees us in heaven, is he going to say to us, were you worth your salt? And I want to take that to heart, that saying, you know, we need to know if we're doing the job well and are we truly being the salt of the earth. So next time you want to eat a meal and you take some salt, I want you to think about that and think, even though it's a small thing in our day-to-day life, God uses that as a way of us to reflect on our spiritual walk. And if you don't know Christ today, I think you need to know him, because he's our salvation, and he died on the cross for us because he loved us first, and so that we could be in heaven. And we don't want to be spit out as a bitter thing if we don't accept him. Shall we pray? Our dear and wondrous, mighty God, we once again thank you for this time. We thank you for all the things you bless, put in the scriptures for us to think about. And Lord, help us to be salt of the earth and help us to keep our saltiness so that we can tell the world that they need to know Christ. And that, and the reason we do this is so that we could help them preserve their souls and not damned to hell for eternity. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.